some opportunity these last few months to go out in the community and exalt the name of Jesus. I personally think that this thing has been so planned out, and I told you that before, that God has given the Church of Jesus Christ this opportunity to live loud. The reason we're preaching on living loud, God has given you the opportunity to prove yourself faithful and go out in the community when the community is very fearful about what they see and what they hear, but then the church shows up, that is you and I, and we tell them and show them how to live loud for heaven. It's a wonderful opportunity, and the reason God laid that message on my heart is to go out and live loud. Let the community and your circle of influence know who you are, what you stand for. And I'm praying that each and every one of you are doing just that. Because I just got this feeling that God has got his little pad up in heaven and he's just writing down, you know, keeping track of what we're doing and what we're saying and how we're executing on what we're doing in our lives. And you know that's true. Because the Bible speaks to that. That we're kind of living on this proving ground we call earth. And we have this awesome opportunity. And I'm praying that you're doing exactly that. That you're not wasting the opportunity to go out there and live loud and let people know who you are and what you stand for. Lord God, we thank you for that opportunity. Lord God, today, above all days, Lord, thank you. Lord God, we come into this place to exalt your name. And then when we leave this place, this house we call Calvary Church, we go out into the community, Lord God, we just got to live loud. And Lord God, I thank you for birthing that in my heart, especially the message for today. And Lord God, for each and every one of us that have ventured out to come into this house, Lord, give us that blessing. And those that couldn't make it, give us a blessing. Give them their homes and their children a blessing, Lord. For those that are sick in body, Lord, we have been hearing those reports, Lord God, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Lord God, thank you for bringing those travelers that had left that community. Thank you for bringing them back safe and sound. And Lord God, as we give you and dedicate this service to your honor and your glory, Father, we ask that you pour out your power in each and every one of us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated after you give somebody a holy wave and let them know how much you appreciate them and love them. Good morning, Calvary. Good morning, Calvary. That's my church. There's my church, and welcome. And I want to tell you welcome to not only those that are in attendance here today. Thank you for joining us online. I was up there prior to service, and right when the music started, and I was looking at how many people were showing up, and I just want to say a special shout-out right now to our very own Tim and Michaela Longbreak. Yes, Tim and Michaela are watching us right now. If you know Tim, and he's been blessing us with his musical gifts and talents and callings here in our worship team for quite some time, but his wife was called into the Marines. She wasn't drafted. She decided to go, and they are now at the base in California, in quarantine. Wow, I really feel bad. Right, Tim, Michaela? Thank you for joining. He sent me a text this morning and said, thank you, and Pastor, we're watching you, and we'll be watching the service this morning, and they are doing that, and there are many others. Thank you so much for joining. I mention this each week, that we're just getting quite the following online, and we're so blessed for that. But that doesn't say that you're allowed to skip church and not show up. Now, I know there are people that aren't showing up because of the situation that's going on. And again, I just want to tell you as your pastor, if you feel like you need to wear a mask, come to church and wear a mask. If you feel like this Friday night we're going to have a barbecue, and I've prayed that God would give us some brisk sea breeze winds to keep things, you know, right off Lake Erie. Yeah, there's we can do it. I know it. And just keep things nice and cool. But I want to thank you. I want to thank you because whoever's been praying for a hot weather. Thank you. I got to take some time off yesterday. I don't get time off often, but yesterday I took some time off, and 82 degrees, and I ventured up to Akron and got to play in the baseball game. And so from 10 o'clock to 1 o'clock, I play baseball. I play hardball, as you know. Don't you dare call it softball, because I don't play softball. That's for much, much older people. I play hardball in the men's league here in town, and so we were up in Akron, and we were playing. We have a great time, and so it was a little warm, but you know, I'm a catcher, and I didn't have to catch that day, and I was thankful for that. But then I came home, and I showered, and there's my wife. She's just waiting for me. She's got the Harley just sitting there ready to go. I tell you, church, if she could ride that thing and fire up, pick me up, and just get me, she would do that, but she can't. But there we are. She says, are you going to shower? Are you ready to go? Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. So I did that. You know you did. Don't act like you didn't. I'm like, so I take a shower, and I'm tired, and I hop on the Harley and turn it on. But honey, if you just don't feel like going, we don't have to go. As it's rumbling in the driveway, right? You know. So then we take off, and we're out going down the Amish country. How many have been to Amish country? It's wonderful. It's great, you know. And I was riding around down there, and I'm getting warmer and warmer, and the temperature's going higher and higher, and you know, she's back there just loving it. You know, I'm sitting on the bike. The temperature of the motor is 135. You know, and I looked on my phone. We stopped to get some water, and it said heat index, emergency warning, heat index. You know, it's 105 now, heat index, and the motor's at 145. I'm thinking, I don't know if this was such a good idea. You know, and then my wife starts saying, Nicole starts saying, you know, maybe we should pack it in for the day because it's now 94 degrees. I said, you think so? You think so? So we just rode around, got some food down in Amish country. I got myself my Swiss steak, and that was great. And then we came home and prepared for service this morning. Aren't you glad it was sunny, though, and warm and not 32 degrees and snowing, right? Yes. I am not a complainer. Only the time I will complain about the heat is when it's cold and there's none. I love the warm temperature. That's why I live in Ohio. So, you know, listen, I got a little demonstration for you here today, and I know you're looking at some things here, and I got this little extra one here, but I'm going to get to that in just 1 second, but I know you're wondering, what in the world does the pastor have in store? You're in trouble. Today, you're in trouble because I got this little cool little demonstration, and our children's pastor, Tim Grease, says, you know, Pastor, if it's really good, I'm going to use it over in the kids' church, you know, Calvary's kids here in the future. And I said, well, you'll just have to watch it on TV, I guess, online, because, well, you know, he's not in service. He's over with the kids. And I just want to say shout out to Pastor Tim Grease. Thank you very much for taking care of our children. Yeah. We're a small church, but we're a mighty church with people that are feeling led and called by God to, you know, walk in their gifts, callings, and talents, and we thank you for that. And we're just so blessed, and I'm just blessed that I made it through the day yesterday in the heat and whatnot, and so are you, and I'm blessed to be here. I'm glad you're here. But boy, do we have something in store for you. We have been preaching on living loud. I pray you are living loud. That people in this community know who you are and what you stand for. So I want to go through a few things of the last, a little review here before we get into today, because I know there's some of you that have been traveling, you haven't been here, but if you're not watching us online when you're traveling, shame on you, because it's really good, right? We believe that God's got us to give the message out, but you know, the first week we talked about living loud, and we talked about the mission. The mission to live loud, right? Live loud so people hear what you have to say. But more importantly, live loud so they get to see what you're doing. That's the mission. They got to know who you are and what you stand for, or who you stand for. And if they don't know that, what have we been telling you for weeks? If they don't know who you are or what you're standing for, you're not living loud enough. They should know, right? Church, they should know, right? They gotta know who you are and what you stand for. We talked about loud enough that everyone hears you and sees you and things going on. If you're not doing that, they don't know who you are. So what kept us from living loud on this mission? It's comfort. boy, we get in this comfort zone. And we really like to stay in that comfort zone. Pastor, it's not cool enough in the church today. Gotta be cool. It's just too hot. Comfort zone, right? You know? Some of our missionaries are preaching. They preached this morning, and they had no air conditioning. And a few of them had to preach in an open, in Africa, they had to preach in an open, you know, a covering over the top of the church with four pillars holding up the, you know, in other words, there's no air conditioning. And I know it was only 117 that this morning, so I think you'd be all right, right? You're just in this nice, comfy, you know, we get in that comfort zone, right? And that keeps us sometimes from living loud. And then we talked in week two, how do we do that? So, Pastor, how do we do that? What's required of me to live a little bit louder? And I said, you got to live on the edge. You got to take some risks, right? You got to take a risk. And God lays on your heart to take risks, right? You got to do something before he's going to do something. There's an expectation of us to step out and let's take some risk. Get out of that comfort zone, right? And we talked about that, living on the edge. Get something going, right? Every risk for God begins with this confidence. This confidence in God, and you're trusting God. So you move forward to live on the edge and take some type of risk, and God's walking alongside you, right? And then we talked about last week, staying in your lane. You got to live loud, but you got to stay right in your lane. And we gave a number of examples to doing that. Living loud, staying in your lane. What does that mean? That means there's an assignment in your life that God gave you. It could be a lifetime assignment. It could be a temporary assignment. But there's a lane that he places you in to accomplish the mission, the assignment. The mission is to live loud. The assignment is how you do that. And so he puts you in a lane to accomplish a goal. The Bible is full of examples. So we gave some of those examples. And he places you in this lane of travel. We talked about cars and how we go and, you know, we drive and there's lanes and all that. And we talked about Paul and he talks about a race. We talked about those lanes. We talked about what happens in the lanes. Sometimes there's a lane shift. You're staying in the lane, but you come upon some type of obstacle. We use the analogy of car and construction zone, and you're going down the road, and all of a sudden, you know, you had to shift lanes, and, you know, you go around this construction, and you had to shift, but you stayed in the lane. It's just the shift. So God's got us shifting sometimes, but we're staying in the same lane. But then we got others. We've got lane changes. God's got you in this lane for a while, and then he changes your assignment, so you have to change lanes. Sometimes we're not really good at that, right? Sometimes some people are better at changing lanes than others. And then we're in the lane so long sometimes that we feel like we're just getting in this comfort zone again, back to the comfort zone, right? So we do what I call lane drifting. I've been behind a lot of lane drifters driving down the road. I've known a lot of lane drifters just in life, as you have as well. They're just drifting. They just don't stay focused ahead of them. They drift, right? Maybe not on purpose, but they do. And so we have lane drifters. We've got this thing I talked about was this foreign lane travel. I talked about the missionaries that do that. They're in a lane of preaching and teaching the word of God, but God sends them someplace else. They're out in the world, and everything is different, but they're still in the same lane, doing exactly what God called them to do, live loud, preach the gospel, let people see that and hear that, but they're a completely different place. And in that lane, sometimes we talked about how when you're in a foreign country, sometimes they drive on the opposite side of the road. Now, we know they're all messed up because that's not the way it should be done, because God knows that we do everything right in America, right? And whatever we do here should be done throughout the whole world, right? But that kind of messes you up a little bit, but we adjust. We adjust to that. But then we get to what I called the expanded lane last week. Well, you're doing so good. And you're going down your lane. You're focused. You're not distracted. You're not drifting. You can handle the lane shifts that God starts to expand your lane and make it wider. And what's that mean? He's giving you more stuff in the same lane. And you just keep going on until God changes your lane, right? And then there's those challenges that show up, right? Those are the types of things that happen in your lane. But today, something different's going to happen in the mission of Living Loud as we wrap up this series. During all this stuff of Living Loud, there's this core thing that has to happen. You've got to let your faith arise during the process. And today, we're going to talk about letting our faith arise in order to live loud and navigate everything I just talked about. You've got to let your faith arise. And look at that key word there. You've got to let your faith arise. Let your faith arise. So I want to give you a little demonstration today. Now, you probably don't know what this box is right here. But I'm going to tell you what it is. This is a live animal transport box. Okay? Anybody watch the guys on TV and stuff? They transport, they put snakes in a bag, but they also do something else. They put them in a box. And this church is a snake transport box that they use out. Hey, ever see one of these? Amazon's the greatest thing ever. I tell you, pastor needs a snake transport box, and you go in there and say, snake, there's snake transport boxes, and here we got one. I got five of these, so that means I can transport five snake, right? They're also spider transport boxes right there. No, no, they're not. Yes, they are. Uh-oh. Anyway, so here we go. So I got these snake transport boxes from Amazon. I think it's really cool because when you're done, there's a lid in here that you don't see. There's a lid that goes on top. I didn't need that for today's demonstration. But then when you're done, they are washable because they need to be because they're like this nylon type. And then you fold them up like this. You put them away until the next time you gotta go catch a wild animal, specifically a snake. Okay? So here we go. I got these really cool boxes. And I thought, wow, that would be really interesting. Can we turn them upside down? Yeah, we can. So I thought, I got this really good. God, what do you think about this idea? And I don't do a lot of demonstrations like this, but I thought today, you know, I wanna see. How many people here can live loud and let their faith arise? I'm just wondering, right? I'm just wondering. So, here's the mission. Can we live loud enough today, here in front of everybody publicly, just in front of friends and family and people online? Now, the people online are like, wow, what's going on? And you know what they're saying right now? Thank the Lord I didn't go today. What they're saying, right? Shame on you for saying that. Thank you. I couldn't make it today. Watch it on live stream, right? The mission is to live loud so everyone hears what you have to say. So I got a question. Are you willing to live loud enough by what you say the people in your life hear you? And if that is true, I want you to scream right now, yes. Yes. All right. Now, the next question is, are you willing to live loud enough that people see what you do? And if you are, scream yes.
Yes.
Oh, you're in big trouble. You're in big trouble. If you're willing to put the action behind your words and you just yelled yes, raise your hand. Come on. Oh, I am in the right place today. All right, so virtually every hand went up. You're going to live loud here. I'm trusting you'll live loud out in the community. So is there anyone here willing to step out of the comfort zone, change lanes, live loud on the edge by taking a risk this morning? Oh, ooh. Don't know yet. I know. But see, there's not only, you know, the question was, what are we risking? But you know something? Sometimes God asks you to do something, but he doesn't tell you the end result. He asks you to take a step of faith and let your faith arise. And he asks us to move forward and say, hey, let's go forward and let's just see how far you're willing to go and how much you're willing to trust me along the way. So, I'm going to give you that opportunity, then show you some text in the Bible here shortly of what happened, but I'm going to give you the opportunity to do that exact same thing this morning, to live loud, out of your comfort zone. Let me tell you a scripture. It's Psalm 68:1. It goes, let God arise, let your enemies be scattered. So, is there anybody here this morning willing to let their faith arise, let their enemies be scattered, walk up here blind, and stick your hand underneath one of these boxes? Anybody? There is. Amber? Get up here. Let Amber know that we appreciate. Now, Amber, I assure you, this is not a trick. Okay. This is not, you know, okay. So I have three boxes here. I want you to take a risk. And one of my guys is, you better. So I'm going to ask Amber to slowly lift the front of one of these boxes, slowly, okay, and just take a peek about what's inside. You willing to do that?
Yeah.
Okay, slowly.
Slowly.
Slow, go ahead.
Build anticipation.
No, wait! Okay, go ahead. You can pick whatever one you want. One of mine's...
Oh, it's
a snake. It's just, you know, it's a snake, look out. Is that it?
No, you want me to get another one?
No. Are you done with that box?
No. There's something in there.
Thank you for letting your faith arise. You can have the snake. Let Amber know how much you appreciate. Thank you, Amber. So we, the church, just gave Amber a nice gift. And I want to say, she did something there. And I don't know if you really understood what just took place. She got out of her comfort zone. And boy, I tell you, she shot her hand right up and said, that is me, Pastor, all the way. And if you know Amber, that's exactly how she is. Now, I wonder if I would have had a real snake in there, she would have stuck her hand in there, like that, right? So, yes. So, I wonder if it would have been a real snake. So, maybe we need to do it again. Maybe we need to do it one more time. I wonder if someone would really stick their hand in there with a real snake in there. Does anybody want to give it a shot? Who is that? Yvonne? Yvonne's not afraid of anything, though. Come on, Yvonne. Yvonne's going to come up here and slide her hand underneath one of these boxes and live loud. Yvonne? Eeny, meeny, miny, moe. Well, that one's already taken. So you have two left. Ever see that show, What's Behind the Three Curtains, right? It's your choice. One of my friends is peeking. that's not supposed to happen, but yeah. Sometimes that happens. Turn around and show everybody what that is. It's a spider. You know, sometimes that's what happens in life, right, Yvonne? Sometimes you go and live loud, and you go all the way, thank you so much. Sometimes you just live loud, and you go all the way through, and you get to the point, and you find out, I didn't stay in my lane. And it didn't turn out quite the way I wanted. Now what do I do? Do I just forget it and no, don't go on? And I, God, you just, where are you? And am I done? No. God asked us to go do it again. So, is there anybody else that wants to live loud? Anybody? Thad? I had two ladies, so I got to go with a guy. Thad, is that you? All right. You play guitar right in your lane, right?
In my lane.
So there's only one left. Well, yeah, you just happen to be the guinea pig there, my friend. you might want to check it out.
Another one.
It's just another snake. It's just a rubber snake.
Oh, he's my friend.
Are we stopping when we see the obstacle, or do we keep going and he keeps going and we thank you? We thank you. What's the point? The point is, you know, when we live in our lane and we're going to live loud and let your faith arise, you know, you come up here and sometimes you just don't know what's behind under the box. You just don't know what the next step is. You certainly don't know what the next day is. But God has this awesome thing he wants us to do, and he wants our faith to arise. Right? He wants our faith to arise through each and every step. Not knowing, now, yeah, you're in a safe zone. You're inside the church, and you're probably, the pastor doesn't have a real snake in there, right? But what happens when we're out in the community and the situation's not the same? What happens when you really come upon a situation and your faith really has to arise? What happens when you come face to face with your fears? And you are just stuck. See, they could have stopped at the snake and not saw that there is this free dinner right behind it. Have fun. Dinner on Calvary Church, right? Dinner's on Calvary Church for you today. So you face your fears. Yvonne came up and she got to the situation. She took the box that had nothing behind it. And I wonder what we do when we run into that situation where there's nothing next. We don't see it. And a lot of times, we just throw in the towel and call it a day. There's no faith in that. We come face to face with our fears. Face to face with our fears. Face to face with our fear. Face to face with our fears. This is fresh from my house. You know. Do you trust God?
God, yes, you know.
She trusts God, but she doesn't trust me.
God wouldn't give me a spider.
We got all kinds of spiders on our patio, my dear. And yes, we do. And I have a present for you today. Do you trust me? You just said you didn't.
No.
Come on, dear.
I told you I hate spiders.
Here, dear, this is a gift for you.
No, I don't want it.
Yeah.
Even rubber ones I don't like.
We'll just put it right there. Is that what we do, though, when we get to this? Yes, that's the pastor. That's what we do. Does someone have a place that I can stay tonight? I know I won't be home. My wife has this, she's what's the word?
Arachnophobia.
Yeah, she's bad. So is that what we do when we face our fears? We just push it and yell and run the other way? Yeah, sometimes we do. That's not living loud. That's not living loud. It was just a corny demonstration. But you kind of think about it in your head, is that what I'm doing every day of my life? Is that what I do? Is that how I live loud? Is that what the people in the community see me doing? Do they see me going up to the situation, the snake, the spider, whatever, and seeing the obstacle, the lane change, the risk, whatever, and what do? The world watches. Your community watches the Church of Jesus Christ. And then we wonder why sometimes we're not as effective sharing our faith, talking about it, because there's no action behind it. I appreciate Amber and Yvonne, just, I want to come up here. And Thad coming and saying, I'm in. But what happens out in the community when that happens? Right? Psalm 68:1, let God arise. Let God arise. And then your enemies will be scattered. What's the background of that? Well, here's the story. You, most of you, if not all of you, know the story of the Exodus in the Bible, where God's people were in captivity for hundreds of years in Egypt. And at the time that God decided, he says, I'm going to send you a deliverer. I'm going to send you a rescuer. I'm going to send somebody in there. And you know the story most likely. And he says, this person's going to come in and take you from where you're at and put you to where I'm going to give you. So here's where you're at. Here's where you're going to go. And there's this big gap in between. What happens during that time is what really defines us, right? God decreed that the Israelites would wander in the wilderness for 40 years when he led them out of captivity in Egypt, from Egypt, heading to what we know as the Promised Land up around Israel, right? And they stayed in this perpetual state of wandering for years because they had an unwillingness to inherit, to go and take what God had blessed them with. See, they didn't see it. They didn't see it. They didn't know the risk because they hadn't left yet. They didn't know. It could have been a straight lane right over to Israel. But if you know the story, they wandered for years and years. And all of them, except for how many, didn't make it into the Promised Land? Bible quiz. No one's going to say it, okay. Couple? Wow. It's amazing to me. I use that story because it just touches me. I can't even imagine why. Because in the time that they're wandering, they could have lived loud. And they didn't. They wandered and complained and whined. And God would send them a miracle, food from heaven. And he gave them water. He gave them this. He gave them that. He gave them leaders. He gave them. Miracle after miracle. And they still didn't live loud. You would think that after all these miracles showed up, someone would finally stand up and say, hey, wow, hey, he's got us. He's got our back. Handful. I remember the story, as you probably do. They sent a bunch of spies into the land, and how many spies they send in? Baker's dozen? 12. That's not a baker's dozen, right? What's a baker's dozen? 13? See? They didn't send a baker's dozen. They just sent a dozen. And a bunch come back. They all come back, and, you know, a bunch said, oh, my gosh, there's no way we could live loud. We can't get in there. We can't do it. But then there's these couple guys. You won't betcha. You live loud enough that you watch God do all these things, big things, little things, whatever they are, and then you get to the moment of truth, and you can't lift the box and get to the end result. Why is that? It's like what we're going through right now. We're never going to see an end to this. We're never going to see an end. This is going to be with us forever. We're never going to, our lives are changed. It's going to be here forever. And people are dying. I don't live like that. My God is bigger than that. I want to live louder than that. They marched out of Egypt with two things. The memory of where they were and an expectation of where they're going. And they lived there for 40 years with two things. Memory, expectation. Exactly where you and I live every day. Memory of what has happened in the past, expectation of what God's going to do in the future, and we live right in the middle of it. And if we don't let our faith arise, we stay there for 40 years or whatever. I've known people stay there for a lifetime. I've known people stay there for an hour. Those are the things they left with. Memory of being enslaved in bondage with the expectation of this promised land that they had not seen yet. They had no idea. They just knew that God said, that's where it's at. Where is that? And the more they wandered, the more they complained. Even after miracle to feed them and whatnot showed up, they still whined about it. And what took over the thought process? The memory of where they were. If you know the story, many cried out, take us back to the memory. We'd rather go back to the memory than let our faith arise and get to the expectation of where God told us we were going. That's exactly how we live today. That's exactly what we're doing today. It's exactly the way we live day in and day out. We're just looking at the memory of the last 4 months instead of the expectation of God's got this. I believe God's got it. And I'm going to live loud until God calls me home. Somebody's got to get excited about that and say, yeah, that's exactly. God gave the Israelites a lane of travel. They had to take some risks. They had to live on the edge. They had a mission. Right? But he asked them to do something, to transfer from the memory to the expectation of what I have for you, and that's let your faith arise. That's that scripture. That is the background of the scripture. And if the word let shows up in your life, then here's what I'm going to do. If you would just let God arise in your faith and your life, what will I do? I'll scatter the enemy. I'll scatter the enemy, and I will clear the lane for you, is what that means. Did you ever see it like that? I will scatter your enemies side to side, and give you a lane of travel. And the first thing that happened when they left captivity and bondage is what? They showed up at a lake, a sea. And God gave them a lane. He scattered the enemy of water on the right and on the left. He opened it up to dry ground, and he said, there's your lane. Let your faith arise. Because once you get in the middle of that, you better have some faith because there's walls of water on your left and on your right. But the expectation was, I know if I believe and let my faith arise, I can get to the end. I don't care about the memory back there. And they walked through the lane. Did you even think about the fact that there was a lane of travel right through the Red Sea as the water pulled back? The enemy of water scattered, faith arose, and they went through that on dry ground. If you know that story, right? Here's a thought for you. God wants to arise in your life, but you have to let him. Your expectation of what lies ahead has to be greater than what you left behind. Your expectation of what lies ahead has to be greater than what you left behind. There is how your faith arises. That's how it works. Remember the mission, to live loud with what you say, what you do, right? On the edge, take some risks. God takes some risks. God wants you to step out, right? Take a risk. Remember that. You got to accept that challenge to let your faith arise. Many of you thought about what's under the boxes. Thought about coming up there and sliding your hand under it. But you were a little nervous, right? Be honest. Was there anybody here that thought about it but was nervous to raise their hand to come do it? Be honest. See? Of course. People were. Of course. There's where your faith has to arise. On a simple demonstration where you knew probably there was no, even though they're transport boxes, you probably knew I wasn't going to bring a live snake in here. Now I have these five transport boxes, and now I'm going to fill them with real snakes. Dear, what are we going to do? I just kind of wanted to experiment a little bit. I think it's kind of cool. Now I'm really intrigued. I'm going to let my faith arise. I'm just going to do it. So how do we do this, Pastor? How do we let our faith arise during the transition from the memory of what I've been through to the expectation of where I'm going? I'm going to give you those steps right now. You're going to see something here. And there's many of you, because I've spoken to a few of you this last week, that are living this right, this very thing right now. You constantly look back at the memory of what was, and you're not seeing the expectation of what could be, because God's got it here for you, and we're stuck in the middle. And when your faith starts to arise in your life, you stop looking at the memory of the behind, and you start looking at the expectation of what God has for you. It's a shame that virtually no one but a couple showed up in the promised land, right? It's a shame that a generation died off. They kept looking back. The unwillingness to let their faith arise. So what do we got to do, Pastor? You've got to be willing to call upon the name of the Lord. See, now hold on. You've got to be willing to do it. Pastor, that's the voice part. Call upon the name of the Lord. Yep, that's exactly right. You're figuring it out. The Bible says, call on me in Jeremiah 33:3. It says, call on me, and then I'll do something for you. I'll answer. It doesn't say he'll answer until you call. So if my faith is going to rise up, I've got to have a voice to it and call upon God. That's the voice. So there's the voice calling, right? And then I will tell you these great and mighty things. The snakes are just rubber, you know, right? I'll tell you great and mighty things which you don't know. Now, you knew probably I wasn't going to bring live snakes in here, but out in the community, as you go about your day, you have no idea. But God will reveal to you, if you call on his name, he will reveal to you, just like he did Jeremiah, he'll reveal to you these great and mighty things, things that you don't know, if you ask and call on his name. The problem is, most of us call out and we stop. We just stop. Because something doesn't happen. The action never shows up. We call out and expect God to do something. Well, of course we do. But what doesn't happen a lot of times for me even is my faith doesn't arise to the expectation of where I want to end up. Pastor, COVID's never going away. It'll be here forever. If I hear that one more time. My faith says otherwise. But I'm vigilant. I'm careful. You and I are vigilant. We're careful. I'm not going to live in fear. We're going to do the right things, right? During the time from the memory of what it was in the last few months to the expectation of deliverance for God to give us, I'm going to do the right things, right? But I'm going to let my faith arise. I'm going to let my faith arise. Pastor, people have died. Yeah, I know. People have died. That's horrible. But that doesn't minimize the fact that I've got to let my faith arise. That doesn't keep me from allowing my fact it arises more so. I need it more now than ever. So I call upon his name. He'll answer me. Then he'll tell me these great and mighty things. Things that I don't know. If you have never experienced that, you are missing out on the very essence of the faith of the living God. Call upon the name of the Lord. He'll answer you. He'll reveal himself to you. Here's how I tell people that are looking and searching, our children included. Just call upon his name and ask him to answer. It's that simple. I have never known anybody that went to heaven sincerely and said, God, reveal yourself to me. I have never in my life known somebody with a pure heart that went to God and said, God, reveal yourself to me, and God didn't. I don't know of them. And you may be sitting here saying, Pastor, I've done it. He's not. Well, guess what? Don't quit. Because there's a reason somewhere. Or maybe God did, and you're not paying attention. Right? Have you ever gotten in the lane and not paid attention and drifted? Yes, we have. Many times. What would have happened to the Israelites as they were going across the Red Sea if they wouldn't have kept their lane focused ahead of them? And they said, yeah, we'll do a lane drift here. They would have ran into the wall of water. Either it would have died or they would have got back on the right lane, right? You've got to call upon his name and let God arise and scatter your enemies. It's not just enough to call, but you've got to have faith that rises up with you calling. They work in tandem. Here's a second point for you. This is the one that we really struggle with. You've got to be willing to rise up too. You got to be willing to rise up too. Let your faith arise. God's going to come in and take care of the situation. You're going to live loud because your faith is arising up, and God is, you're calling out, and you're doing exactly what Jeremiah talked about. You're doing all those things. But then what we do is we end up staying right where we're at. We've got to rise up too. You've got to get out of your chair. You've got to come up to the box and slide your hand under it. But when you're out in the community and going about your day, you've got to be willing to take that risk. You've got to be willing to go in there and say, hey, I can do this. I'm going to rise up too. And what you'll find out is God will rise up right alongside you. But how does it work if God rises up and says, here's the expectation, and we're living in the memory down here, and we don't rise up to meet God's challenge? We're not going to go anywhere. You've got to be willing to rise up too. You've got to be willing to rise up in your worship. You've got to be willing to accept the healing. That's what we're seeing on Wednesday nights in praise and prayer. Healing after healing after healing. People are willing to accept that, and they have the expectation that if they show up here on a Wednesday night or they're online and they put a prayer request in there, Robin, give me a hallelujah, they believe it's going to happen. Their faith rises up. And we've got how many? A dozen or so or 10 or so people that have confessed to this church, God touched me on Wednesday night during the praise and prayer. I got a healing. Somebody's got to let their faith rise up. Your faith rises up. You've got to be willing as well. Here's another point for you. And I'll bring it in for a landing. You've got to be willing to accept the exchange. You've got to be willing to say, I'm not going to live in the memory anymore. I'm going to live in the expectation. I'm going to call upon the name of the Lord. I'm going to let God's faith arise in me. I'm going to rise up with it. But at some point in our lives, we've got to say, I accept the exchange. The memory is this, but the expectation is this. And we have to do this about face that they make you do in the military. But we as believers sometimes just struggle with it. We have to stop looking at the memory and say, I'm done with the memory. I'm going to look at the expectation. And the expectation looks a little bit different from our perspective sometimes. But if your faith doesn't rise up, you'll never get to it. You'll never arrive. It'll be 40 years in the wilderness. And you wonder, we wonder as people why we don't get to the expectation and arrive to the promised land is because we're staying right in the middle where we want to be because we keep going memory, expectation. Which way do I go? Where do I want to go? I want to go this way, but I don't see or hear it. But I know it's back there. I'll just go back there in the memory. I'll just go back to Egypt because at least I knew what that was. I wouldn't turn around and go back to slavery and bondage for nothing. I'll take my chances with the Lord thy God. I'll lift up a box. I'll do whatever I got to do because the expectation's got to be better than the memory. Right? It's got to be. It's got to be better. And I'm telling you, church, it is better. But you'll never show up. It'll never happen. You'll never arrive to the promised land. You'll never get there if your faith doesn't arise. I just want the Church of Jesus Christ, the Calvary Church especially, their faith's got to arise. You've got to be charged up and say, Pastor, that's exactly who I am. That's exactly what I'm going to do. I don't care if it's a box. I don't care what the situation is. I want to live loud, and I'm going to let the community, my circle of influence, know exactly who I am and exactly what I stand for. And Isaiah 44 through 5 tells you what happens. I love this scripture. I started with this weeks ago. I'll fill in the valley for you, make your path a little bit level. I'll level off those hills so it's easier for you to travel. I'll straighten out those crooked paths, those lane shifts, so it's straighter. I'll smooth off the road and the spots in the road and take out the potholes so you have some more smooth sailing. The glory of the Lord will be seen by all mankind. So when we go through this process of living loud, the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ will be seen in you and I throughout the community, and they won't be so fearful anymore because you are living loud. I'm not saying don't take precautions. I'm just saying live loud. Let people know who you are and what you stand for, right? The glory of the Lord will be seen by all mankind together. The Lord has spoken, and if the Lord has spoken, it shall be done. Is there anybody in the house of Calvary that wants to live loud so we hear and see that it shall be done? Give them a praise offering today. I want to be a loud liver. I want to live loud. It excites me. We need to live loud so everyone hears us and sees us. They know what we stand for. We need to live on the edge, take some risks. You know, if God is for you, who could be against you? If God is for you, who could be against you? Who could touch you? We need to stay in our lane, but be willing to do some shifting lanes and changing lanes and expand our lane, but stay in the lane until God changes your lane. And during that entire process, our faith has to rise up, and we have to rise up with it, not knowing what the end result may be. But I know this, if we don't do that, we just live in memories. We never get to the expectation because we're constantly saying, it used to be this way, it is this way, it's never going to change, da-da-da-da-da-da. I had someone tell me here a long time, well, a few years back, something that I spoke life to them. They said, Pastor, I can't accept something, and here's what they said. You know who you are. It wasn't a person in our church, but it came from somebody here. Once a child abuser, always a child abuser. Once a spousal abuser, always a spousal abuser. Memory after memory. Once a loser, always a loser. Once a deadbeat, always a deadbeat. Once they're lazy, they're always lazy. And I said, well, we don't need Jesus on the cross. My faith doesn't need to arise. I don't have to live loud. And if that's what you believe, there's no grace. There's no reason to live loud. There's no reason to take risks for Jesus. There's no reason. There's no reason. There's no reason. But I want to tell you something, church. God's grace is big enough to make people change. They can forgive and they can change. You may be saying right now, I have this memory of this situation behind me, Pastor. And if you can't get over that, you've got to let your faith arise and the change needs to take place. I'm going to give you that opportunity right here to make that change. Today is a defining moment to live loud. To go out in the community and say, I'm going to do it different. I'm going to live louder. I'm not going to be embarrassed. I'm going to give somebody a second chance. I'm not going to live in the memory. I'm going to give them a second. But there has to be action in the second chance, the Bible says. Right? We can say it, but God expects us to do what? Do it with action. Then God comes in and says, that is faith arising. Your faith has to arise too. So God has this expectation on you and I. And I'm going to call for those in this congregation that wants to live loud today and forever. So Calvary Church, stand to your feet with me. I want to pray a prayer of living loud over you. And we're going to send you out of Calvary Church today with a mission to leave the building. The church is going to leave the building today. You've seen these signs. What? We've never been in a building. Living loud has nothing to do with a building. It has everything to do with going out there and reaching people with the gospel of Jesus Christ, and that's you and I. Let's pray together. And when I get to that spot, well, you got to shoot your hand up. You do that. But here we go. Lord God, in Jesus' name, Father God, you told me to preach it. You told me, Lord God, that you wanted me to tell and preach and live loud, especially during a time where living loud doesn't seem appropriate to some. And Lord God, help us if that's what we believe. Help us, Lord God, that if we are not living loud enough, that you motivate us with your spirit to live louder. Lord God, to reveal those things, those hidden things that the scripture tells us. And Lord God, in Jesus' name, Lord God, I pray that everybody here leaves today ready, charged to live louder than they did when they walked in. And Lord God, in Jesus' name, I pray that those people that are going to raise their hand and make a public confession of commitment by their hand to live louder like we have been saying for the last few weeks. The Lord God, they're going to slide their hand under the box not knowing what's there. They're going to go out in the community and speak to people, do things, not knowing the outcome, but letting their faith arise and let you come in and make the change that needs to be changed. And I thank you. So Calvary Church, if that is you today, and you're going to commit to live louder, on the count of three, just shoot your hand up like we did last week. One, two, three, shoot your hand up. Thank you. Thank you. Firstly, every hand in the building is up. Lord God, I pray a special blessing of favor upon each and every one of these five people that raised their hand. Lord God, you see their public confession. Now, Lord God, as they leave today and they go out to execute on the action that the scripture teaches us, that they will go out and do whatever you've called them to do. The expectation is ahead of them. The memory is gone, and now our faith arises. Lord God, use everybody in this place, Lord, for some new purpose, some new lane. Make them take a risk. Make them fulfill their mission in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, Give them a praise offering today. Hallelujah. God bless you. We'll see you at the barbecue on Friday night. God be with you. Let's go out and trust and expect God to do great and mighty things.